vibration of love and peace.
Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
Welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America. One of your most important weapons in fighting the war on truth being waged against the people by the mainstream media. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you, after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. Make sure you sign up for the updates on my site as I send out important information you need to know to my list on a regular basis. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune disease, seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based solely on history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. I ask each of you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself. For we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing. Guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The numbers to call in are listed on the BBSRadio.com website, Station 2, and include the following: toll-free USA and Canada, 888-228-4494, toll-free worldwide, 877-489-6350. You can also use Skype at BBS Radio or PalTalk at BBSRadio_com. Every week I will answer the question, What's Ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we have been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good, when they are actually inoculations with disease and thus are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. That truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. It is time for everyone with a conscience to realize that if you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. I can only show you the door. You have to walk through it. The question is, how far down the rabbit hole are you willing to go? Do not be afraid, for the truth shall set us free. And as the weak-willed puppets of darkness are being made visible to the public eye through shows such as this, The once feeble calls for cease and desist are becoming the roaring outcry which will bring about the evolution of consciousness necessary to change everything. The next step in human evolution is to take responsibility for our lives and those in our care, to live in a sacred way, to do unto others and our earth as we would want done to ourselves. So please spread the word about these broadcasts, and remember, as Voltaire said, we are not only responsible for what we do, but also for what we don't do. And as Einstein stated, the world is a dangerous place, not just because of those who do evil, but also because of those who look on and who do nothing. And I would also like to thank the Americans Bulletin for sponsoring the show. The Americans Bulletin is one of the last bastions of a non-controlled, non-corporate press. Recent issues have carried articles on the planned use of water as a weapon of mass destruction, the true purpose of the Social Security number, whether or not taxes are legal, how the financial system has been tweaked to make you a slave of the state, and what you can do about it, alternative health, the vaccination issue, and a whole lot more. You can subscribe to the Americans Bulletin by visiting the website AmericansBulletin.com or by calling 541-773-2756. The Americans Bulletin, because you need to know the truth. It's only $40 a year, and there's 6 issues a year. It's the First Amendment forum for free-thinking people. So on tonight's show, we will answer the question, what's ailing America? Poisoning of our pets with roadkill kibble. And our guest tonight is Sandra Bailey. She is author of the book, The Naturally Healthy Dog, Real Dogs Don't Eat Kibble. But before I bring Sandra on, I just want to read something very important that I was emailed actually in October, A Dog's Purpose. And I ask all of you to just sit back, close your eyes, and listen to what a 6-year-old wrote about a dog's purpose, or said, in terms of what a dog's purpose is. And this is the story. Being a veterinarian, I had been called to examine a 10-year-old Irish wolfhound named Belker. The dog's owners, Ron, his wife Lisa, and their little boy Shane were all very attached to Belker, and they were hoping for a miracle. The veterinarian examined Belker and found he was dying of cancer. The veterinarian told the family that they couldn't do anything for Belker and offered to perform the euthanasia procedure for the old dog in their home. As they made arrangements, Ron and Lisa told the veterinarian that they thought it would be good for 6-year-old Shane to observe the procedure. They felt as though Shane might learn something from the experience. The next day, the veterinarian felt the familiar catch in her throat as Belker's family surrounded him. Shane seemed so calm, petting the old dog for the last time, that the vet wondered if he understood what was going on. Within a few minutes, Belker slipped peacefully away. The little boy seemed to accept Belker's transition without any difficulty or confusion. They all sat together for a while after Belker's death, wondering aloud about the sad fact that the animal lives are shorter than human lives. Jane, the child who had been listening, quietly piped up, "I know why." Startled, they all turned to him. What came out of his mouth stunned everyone. They'd never heard a more comforting explanation. The little boy said, "People are born so that they can learn how to live a good life, like loving everybody all the time and being nice, right?" The 6-year-old continued, "Well, dogs already know how to do that, so they don't have to stay as long." And all of you that have dogs, I ask you to give your dog some extra pets tonight. I myself have a very treasured dog named Sweetie Pie, and this dog is part of my family, and I totally agree with this little 6-year-old boy that the dogs already know how to live and how to give love. They don't have to live as long because they don't have anything to figure out. So you need to remember that if a dog was the teacher, you would learn things like, When the loved one comes home, you always run to greet them. You never pass up the opportunity to go for a joyride. Allow the experience of fresh air and the wind in your face to be pure ecstasy. Take naps. Stretch before rising. Run, romp, and play daily. Thrive on attention and let people touch you. Avoid biting when a simple growl will do. On warm days, stop to lie on your back on the grass. On hot days, drink lots of water and lie under a shady tree. When you're happy, dance around and wag your entire body. Delight in the simple joy of a long walk. Eat with gusto and enthusiasm. Stop when you've had enough. Be loyal and never pretend to be something that you are not. If you want lies buried, dig until you find it. When someone is having a bad day, be silent, sit close by, and nuzzle them gently. And be always grateful for each new day. So this is what the dogs have to teach us. And, of course, you all know that, you know, dog spelled backwards is God. So on that note, I would like to bring on our guest, Sandra Bailey. Are you there, Sandra?
Yes, I am. And that
okay.
was really, that was really wonderful. I enjoyed that.
Thank you. Well, I just want to read about Sandra. She is the author, as I said, of Real Dogs Don't Eat Kibble, which is book one of the Naturally Healthy Dog series. She has numerous articles on the web about diet, food, and the care of dogs. She has also written a consumer awareness guide to selecting a dog boarding facility that everyone should read before placing their dog in such a facility. She offers a diet, nutrition, and coaching program for dog guardians who are interested in feeding their dogs a top diet and also a weight loss program for dogs. She is also available for telephone consultations. Sandra operates the Ruff Ruff Resort, a wellness boarding daycare facility for small dogs in her home. And I just want to say that Sweetie Pie has been a guest in that facility and enjoyed it very much. She offers Reiki and other holistic treatments for the dogs while they are there. She is in demand for speaking appearances around the country, has spoken at universities, animal shelters, and other groups who are interested in the health and well-being of dogs. She is located in Charlotte, North Carolina, and will soon be a guest lecturer at the Canine Club in Hickory, North Carolina, where I purchase the wonderful organic dog food that I feed my pets. So I'm very happy that she's on the show tonight. She got her first dog at age 14, and when she picked out the run of the litter, her mom asked her why, and she said, because she looked like she needed me. And that began Sandra's love affair with dogs, and she has had dogs for over 50 years. She became involved with a Papillon breed in the late 1970s, one of the cutest little dog breeds I've ever seen. Tiny little puppies that have butterflies on their face. She lost her first Papillon at the young age of 9 years, and that began Sandra's study in nutrition and alternative health care. She felt that there was a better way to care and support her dogs, improve their immune systems, and extend their lives as long as possible. She's a member of the National Center for Homeopathy and a professional member of the Animal Wellness Association, as well as a member of Canine Concern. She has shown Papillons for over 20 years, has become more and more involved in various aspects of the canine world, and currently has 3 Papillons, Digit, Pip, and Squeeze. But she does not breed them because she readily admits that she would not be able to part with any of the pups that would be produced. She's currently working on the next book in the Natural Healthy Dog series, plus numerous articles and reports. And so, first of all, Sandra, I would like to thank you for being on the show. And if you could start out by telling our listeners, how can they sign up for your excellent updates that you send out, which I get on a regular basis, which include all kinds of wonderful recipes for dogs and other things that people that love dogs need to know?
Well, they can sign up for my newsletter at my website. And as you say, it's the three W's, thenaturallyhealthydog.com. And if you sign up for the newsletter, you get the first chapter of my book free, and can give it a try out and decide if you would like to purchase it or not. So, you know, I do encourage everyone to sign up for the newsletter because it's an excellent way to get the latest of what's going on in the dog world. And I know last year when the recalls were occurring, there were a couple of days there that I sent out 4 emails a day because things were happening so fast.
Yes, and you're talking about the pet food that was contaminated with the melamine that was being sold to different food manufacturers that came from China, correct?
That's correct. And the other things that have happened since then, such as the pet toothpaste, which is contaminated as well, and so forth and so on. So, you know, the newsletter is just a good way to kind of have a conduit into an alert system as well as an educational system.
Yes, and actually I do another show on the Republic Broadcasting Network on Wednesdays, and we had a caller into that show that actually mentioned something that I wasn't aware of, that you're probably aware of, that the product called Frontline, which is sold to pet owners to allegedly keep the pets free of worms, turns out is contaminated by another toxic poison from China, and this has also killed many pets. And so the bottom line is, what people need to realize is that as far as pet food go, it is even more poisoned than human food. And if you want to keep your pet alive and healthy, you need to stay away from the veterinarians and all the different drugs and vaccinations and such that they give them, and you need to care enough about your pet to give them excellent food. And Sandra's going to teach us about that because she is an expert along those lines, what you need to feed your pet in order to keep them healthy. But I just want to remind the listeners that when this problem with the melamine came out, the first company that was involved was the Diamond Pet Food Company. But as it turned out, there were so many different pet foods that turned out that were affected by this toxic poison. And that's when I realized just how bad it is in terms of the different companies that charge different prices for their pet food. And they pretend that they're like a more elite brand, they're more nutritious and things such as that. But in actuality, they're all composed of the same garbage, basically roadkill, and I'm sure we'll get into that, that they're actually using euthanized pets in order to make pet food. There's so many horrendous things going on. And that's why it is so critically important, if you love your pet and if you have a pet, I'm sure you do, you need to know what to feed your pet. As a matter of fact, I had actually talked to the manager of the Canine Club in Hickory, North Carolina, where I get my pet food, about this brand of dog food made by Dick Van Patten, which purports to be an organic brand of dog food. It's called the Nature Recipe. And she was wonderful enough to research that. And it turned out, Sandra, that pet food, which is one of the most expensive you can buy, is actually made at the Diamond Dog Food Plant. So, of course, one realizes that they're not going to clean all their machinery in between the different brands that they're preparing. It's all prepared in the same equipment. And so all the different toxins are being put into the different brands as they're charging different amounts for them. So this is such important information that people need to know. And so, Sandra, in your excellent expert opinion, what is the best food to feed any dog?
The best diet for a dog is a natural, raw diet. Now, I know that a lot of people, you know, kind of recoil from that, but it truly is their natural diet, and their digestive system is designed for a natural raw diet, and that means raw meat, raw vegetables, and raw fruits, and no grains. And their digestive system is designed for that type of food, and their digestive system is not designed to process cooked food, grain, and the certainly the other garbage that they put into processed pet food. Now, feeding a natural raw diet, because I have several pets and I like to make the raw diet myself, and of course the book, Real Dogs Don't Eat Kibble, takes you step by step through that whole process in understanding the dog's digestive system, how it works, and what foods are the best for the dog and the most nutritious for them, what they the foods that they can get the most nutrition out of that their digestive system is designed to do. But if a person does not want to make their own diet, as I do, there are frozen raw diets on the market today, and it's just as easy to feed your dog that as to portion out a cupful or a half a cupful of junk kibble out of a bag. You just simply reach in the bag and get a couple of little frozen patties, put them out to let them thaw out or come up to room temperature and feed them to your dog. It's no more trouble than feeding garbage. And I know that a lot of people say, well, it's more expensive, you know, even if you make it yourself, that it might, that people are afraid that it will cost more money. But the truth of the matter is you have a choice to make. You can either put the money into good food for your animal, or you can give the money to the vet to take care of the health problems that are brought
sick,
about
right.
by poor quality food.
Yes, and this is true for humans
as well.
Same dollar. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to forget to advise the listeners, where can they get your excellent book, Sandra? Can they get it through your website?
They can go to the website, thenaturallyhealthydog.com. They can certainly get the book there. And, of course, it's also available on Amazon.com and the other major book sites that are on, like Barnes & Noble and Borders, et cetera.
Okay.
And it's being sold worldwide. It's fun to see it in Japanese and Chinese and stuff like that. But, you know, I think the major, when I started out with the book, the reason I wrote it is when I lost my first little Papillon, I came to realize that I lost her because I was feeding her the garbage that's on the market, innocently feeding her that, you know, bought hook, line, and sinker into the pet food manufacturers, quote-unquote, having your dog's best interests at heart, which
right.
we know is not the truth anymore.
And the vets don't tell you any different. That's the problem.
That's right.
Right.
And so the book was written actually year before last, before this the pet food recall last year, and you know I did a lot of research and trying to figure out you know why my animal died at such a young age, and came to realize that it was a combination of inappropriate food. And I gave her all of the shots, which
right.
we get, you know, hooked into as well. As a result, I decided to write the book because Dr. Don Hamilton, who's a veterinarian, I read a statement that he made that said, I doubt if we ever see a healthy dog or cat these days. We can only assume what they may look like. And I thought, my gosh, you know, if the vets feel like they never see a healthy dog or cat, then, you know, what do we as pet owners know to do? And since I had been already doing research for about 15 years at that point, I decided to write the book for other pet owners to to realize, number one, that food is the basis of good health, and what the appropriate foods are to feed to your dog. And I'll tell you what I just continue to learn, because I interview veterinarians all across the United States on the different holistic practices the modalities that they use in their practice. And the more I learn, I realize that if you take a puppy and you start them on the raw diet, and you give them the minimum vaccines, such as for parvo or possibly distemper when they're a puppy, and you don't buy into all the rest of those vaccines, you can add 8 years to a dog's life. And that would bring all the dogs up into the 20-year category. And dogs used to live that long. They used to live into their 20s. And we've been killing them for years. We've
and not
been
only
shortening
that, but
their lives.
Them
the
chronically
reason they
ill.
Have these, all of these health conditions, everybody buys into the fact that, well, they're getting older, they're going to develop cancer, they're going to develop diabetes, these things are just going to happen to them. Well, that's not true. Those are not natural diseases for an animal to have.
Right.
And the reason those diseases are coming about is because we have destroyed their immune systems with feeding poor quality processed dry dog food or just processed dog food, and giving them an overabundance of vaccines and antibiotics, and we've destroyed their immune systems.
Right. Well, the only thing, wait, let me just mention something here. The only thing I'm going to disagree with what you said, because I have stepped completely out of the box, is that I'm totally against all vaccinations. Totally against all vaccinations. If a pet is exposed in the wild to a virus that's a natural exposure, they're going to develop natural lifelong immunity. You do not want to inject them, in my opinion, with any virus. And my pets will never be vaccinated with anything. But I realize that in order to go into certain kennels and be trained in obedience classes and to go into certain parks and such, the pets are required to at least get a rabies vaccine. But I will encourage the listeners to listen to the archives of this show in May with Dr. Patricia Jordan, the veterinarian who is to pets what I am to people, in regards to what vaccines actually do to pets. They're causing all autoimmune diseases in pets as they are in people, and cancer. And on my website, I actually have the package insert from the latest edition of the physician's desk reference for pets, which is called the Veterinarian's Compendium, which actually states that the rabies vaccine causes autoimmune disease due to the tissue cultures used to make the viruses so that they can make the vaccines. So I just wanted to state that I'm totally against all vaccines, and it's going to take the people to start asking hard questions and to stand up and demand that these ridiculous vaccine schedules for pets as well as people be stopped, because it's totally ridiculous. This is just a superstition that vaccinations protect you from anything. There's no more protection in your white coat injecting you with viruses than there is when a mosquito bites you. And we're all told to get rid of the standing water so we don't have mosquitoes. So I'm sorry, Sandra. You know that's my passion. I just had to state that. But I did
let me follow up with that.
Okay.
I absolutely 100% agree with you. And my dogs have not had any vaccines, and they have not had a rabies shot. And, of course, I hope no one's listening out there that's going to come after me. But I shelter my dogs. I'm at home with them, and I don't take them out. Now, yes, I have shown papillons in the past. The current papillons that I have, I do not show. So they're not exposed to other dogs other than, of course, I do have the wellness boarding facility. But so many of the people that come into this facility Also, because they're looking for a facility like mine, I do not demand shots for them to come in. And there are facilities out there that are like that. You can find groomers that do not demand that you give your that your dog has to have every shot. And you can find some of these small in-home boarding facilities that will not require that your dog have shots. So, number one, if people would, you know, shelter their dogs like most people do, and that's the thing. I mean, we have leash laws and that sort of thing, so dogs aren't out running around in the neighborhood the way they did when I was a kid. So they're not exposed to as many things. And if your dog is primarily an inside dog or they run around in your yard and they're not exposed to a lot of other dogs, then I totally agree with you. I like I just said, my dogs have not had any shots. So I think
Well, not only that, but let me just mention, you see, if they were exposed to something, let's say that a raccoon wandered into the yard and, you know, took a little Dr. Leakey, you know, urinated or whatever, and the dog would sniff it, and they would be exposed to some virus. The key thing is that that is a normal way to be exposed, and if you read the paper on my website entitled Inoculations, the True Weapons of Mass Destruction, I explain the corruption of the immune system that occurs when a virus is injected into your system versus being inhaled or ingested. It bypasses the secretory IgA that the Creator gave us, which is the beginning of the normal immune system cascade that gives you lifelong immunity. So what I try to teach my clients, and I have people and pets, is that you don't have to be as afraid of these germs. These germs actually are necessary to be exposed to once in a while so that your immune system can learn how to work. And there's other things you can
do. And you're absolutely right on that. I mean,
right.
And that's the whole point of feeding them the best quality diet as possible.
Exactly.
Because you want to boost and support their immune system so that they can fight off naturally the various things that they're exposed to. Because we're all going to be exposed to things. And if we have a strong immune system, our bodies just automatically fight it off.
Exactly. And there's also things such as colloidal silver. I have a dog and two cats, and every morning they get a bowl of water which has colloidal silver in it, which is a natural antibiotic that kills 650 bacteria and viruses. And they drink that, and if they get a little scratch on them or whatever, I spray it on them, and that takes care of business. So you don't have to be afraid of these germs. And what I want people to realize is they're watching the pets get sicker and sicker, and especially, you know, the thoroughbreds, which are inbred, and they are basically canaries in the coal mine, showing us what's going to happen to humanity if we continue to eat terrible food and allow ourselves to be injected and get all these antibiotics, as Sandra said, and drugs and things of that nature. We have to get back to a natural way of life, and that is why I love this book, Naturally Healthy Dogs, Real Dogs Don't Eat Kibble, because that's what Sandra is trying to tell us. But I wanted to just ask you, Sandra, because you mentioned something that was very interesting to me. What is the problem that people have with feeding dogs raw food? I mean, dogs in the wild, if they, you know, go out and catch an animal and they eat it, they're not having a barbecue. So why can't people get it that dogs were made to eat raw food?
You know, I don't know. It is because the pet food companies did such a great job of brainwashing the public with, you know, TV and radio ads and everything else. And I say radio because I'm the age group that, you know, listened to radio when we were little. But the pet food industry didn't really come into being until the 1900s, and really the late 30s, early 40s is really when it came into being. And the whole reason it came into being is because the food manufacturers had all this garbage left over that was unfit for human consumption. So they looked around and said, what can we do with this? And somebody's bright idea was, why don't we feed it to the animals?
Wow.
So they started processing it, you know, either putting it in cans or making a kibble out of it. And then, of course, you know, doing a wonderful advertising job to the American public. And then, of course, the convenience also came into being, because previous to that, you know, I have to make people stop and think, what did dogs eat before manufactured dog food? Well, they ate whatever we gave them. They ate off of our table. They ate the raw, maybe meat scraps or whatever, or when a hunter was out hunting, they throw, you know, part of the squirrel or part of whatever they had hunted over to their dog for their dog to have their meal. So they fed them raw meat. They fed maybe whatever vegetables were left over on the table. I remember my grandmother would throw, you know, whatever raw meat was left that she was not going to cook, because maybe it just wasn't the best cut of meat. She would throw the raw meat out after the dinner. She would throw whatever leftover cornbread or biscuits or vegetables and things like that out in the yard for the dogs and cats to eat. Now, the dogs and cats, because they lived outside and they lived in a rural area, also had the advantage of being able to go into the woods and catch field mice and small rodents, et cetera, to supplement their natural diet with. So that was how we fed our pets until this industry came into being. And then, of course, they did such a good job in advertising that they convinced everyone that they were the only ones who knew the best for their dog. It surprises me that young people, particularly, who have grown up knowing nothing but processed dog food, they don't stop to think about what happened before this industry came into being.
Wow.
And, you know, I just get so passionate about it, because it's just so easy to do. It is so easy to, for example, I just spoke a couple of weeks ago, I gave a talk and a demonstration on really how easy it is to put the raw diet together. I showed up for the talk. I had my juicer there to juice my vegetables and fruits and all of that stuff. I had all of it, and I'm unpacking the box and putting things out, and I didn't bring any food with me. I had nothing with me, and I thought, how ironic, I've gone to give a demonstration on putting this food together, and I didn't bring any food. Well, I was right next door to a grocery store, so I ran over there, and I bought a small package of ground beef. I picked up an apple, a couple of squash, some carrots, some kale, and ran back over to the to where I was giving the talk, and, you know, put the vegetables and the fruit through the juicer during my talk so people could see how easy it is. I already had the ground meat, and then mixed it together, and I had taken my supplements that I recommend that if you make the raw diet from scratch, there are some supplements that just help boost the immune system even more. And
please,
I had those
mention
with me.
What the supplements are, Sandra.
Well, I do feel that you need to do some additional vitamin C from time to time, particularly if your animal is going to be in a stressful situation or if they're going to be around other animals. The vitamin C boosts their immune system.
Yes.
There are some other things. I like to give a probiotic.
Uh-huh.
I think it's Tree of Life that does I don't have it in front of me, and I can't think what the name of it is. Primal Defense, that's the name of it. I like to use that because that just helps the friendly bacteria in the gut. mm-hmm. And helps them get absorb even more nutrition from the food that they're eating. The whole point of juicing or processing in a food processor the vegetables and the fruits is because their digestive system is not designed to break down the cellulose in vegetables and fruits. So by breaking it down before you give it to them, because you just mix it into the meat, they're able to get the nutrition that they need out of those things.
Uh-huh.
The Prozyme is a good product. That also helps them absorb more nutrition out of the product. You can give some vitamin E on occasion. So there are a number of different supplements, and of course I do have a section in the book that talks about the supplements and
yes.
The best times to use them and under what conditions you want to
uh-huh.
use. So the point of what I was just talking about is to show you how on the spur of the moment I fixed a meal, you know,
uh-huh.
because I had forgotten everything. I just simply ran to the grocery store and got everything together and was still able to do the talk and the demonstration. And, you know, it takes 4 minutes to process the vegetables, and how long does it take to open a package of ground turkey or ground chicken or ground beef and
uh-huh.
then mix your vegetables and fruit in with it. I mean, it's just so easy to do. But for the person who just simply feels like they don't want to make it themselves, there are, as I said, some raw frozen products on the market that are designed by very good companies that have come forward now that are using organic as much as possible in the fruits and vegetables and even organically raised meats. And it's as simple as getting some patties or some little medallions out and let it come up to room temperature and to feed to your dog. It's that easy to do, and it is the best diet in the world for your dog.
Yes, and that's what I now give my pets, and it's actually quite hysterical. My dog is my alarm clock. She knows 7 o'clock every morning, I start getting kisses. It's basically my wake-up call. We want to eat now. And so she gets me up, and then the two cats are sitting at the door, and they all know we're going to get the raw food now, because I also do give them a dry food, which is organic, that they get to munch on during the day. But that raw food is what they crave, and they're so happy when they get that food. And it is just as easy as Sandra mentioned. I just take out whatever I'm going to use the night before and put it in the refrigerator so that it thaws out. And I just want to mention that my dog, Sweetie Pie, I adopted her from a flea market when I first moved to North Carolina last March. She was a puppy that had lived on a farm, only lived outside, and the owners, when I asked them what they had fed her, were feeding her Old Roy. And what Dr. Jordan says is that Old Roy is—it's like the worst of the worst. It's just pure garbage.
Yeah,
that's the absolute
bottom of the line.
Right, and that's what my puppy was getting fed by the people that owned her before I adopted her. And the main reason I adopted her is because I asked them if she had gotten all her shots, and they said, "Oh no, she's gotten no shots yet." So I said, "Okay, I'll take her." But if you could see this dog, and you have seen her, Sandra, she's very energetic. But her coat is amazing. I mean, it's actually translucent. It just shines and glistens. And I have not given this dog a bath in months. She has she sheds a little bit, but she has no odor to her whatsoever. She has no bad breath. She's just sparkling clean. And it's just amazing. You can actually see the effects of changing a pet over to a diet that is healthy. They have nutrients that they need, and especially the raw foods, because that's what the Creator created them to do, is to eat raw foods. And my dog actually loves salad. If I eat salad, she gets on the bed and just looks at me with those eyes and waits for her, you know, handout. So these things are all wonderful. And as I said, I cannot more highly recommend your book because of how it tells owners what they need to feed their pets in order to keep them healthy. And anybody that's got a pet, obviously you want to keep your pet around as long as possible and to have it have a good life and to be able to be happy and, you know, just enjoy their existence on this earth.
Well, you know, one of the things that that you just mentioned, you know, one of the chapters in the book does talk about the processed foods that are on the market today that are in the top level of food. There is a particular product that I like, a dry food that I like, that I keep in emergency situations. I keep it in the freezer, and it's a grain-free food.
Well, please mention
kibble.
What it is.
Pardon?
Please mention what it is.
It's Evo, E-V-O.
Okay.
It's put out by the Anova people, manufacturers, but it is Evo, and it is grain-free. Now, they have also put out a canned grain-free product, and as I say, I always keep some of the kibble in the freezer as a backup. If I suddenly had, you know, realized that I didn't take a big package of frozen meat out in the morning like I was supposed to,
mm-hmm.
then I can fall back on doing that. Plus, I like to use it as an occasional treat for the dogs, too, because they absolutely adore it. And it's like you're talking about, if you feed them these top foods of if you buy a prepared food, the number one choice is to get a raw frozen diet. The second choice, I would say, would be your canned foods, and your third choice would be your kibbles. Now, I'm only talking about the foods that I recommend in the book because they are from these people that are... I like to say that when this pet food recall occurred this past year, there was only one product that I had recommended that was caught up in it, and unfortunately it was the Dick Van Dyke, Dick Van Patten's product, and the reason was because of the place where it was processed. It had gotten contaminated. But... you know, everybody on the list is really making a very conscientious effort of really truly paying attention. I think the one major thing that came out of this recall, the one good thing that came out of the recall, was that it woke everybody up. It made pet owners become aware. It was like they've been asleep all of these years,
exactly.
And suddenly they became aware that, you know, I can't trust these people anymore.
Exactly.
I need to do some research. I need to get out there and read something. I need to talk to folks. I need to find out some information. And that's good because people have really scrambled around trying to find good products for their dogs. And, oh, I know what you mentioned a while ago about the skin, the coat, and all of those things. I think people kind of think that dogs are supposed to have bad breath, they're supposed to smell, you know, have a doggy odor, and all of those things. And the amazing thing is when you get them onto a good quality diet, they don't have a doggy smell, they don't have the bad breath.
Exactly.
And their coats become, are good conditioned coats, and, their skin is much healthier. Their whole body is healthier.
Yes.
So,
as a matter of fact, one of the things that amazed me is I was going through the potty training of my pup when she was young because I started her on the healthy food immediately. I do have a number of rugs in my home, and even when she would have an accident, the urine didn't even smell. I mean, this dog has no odors whatsoever. And it wasn't like people would come into my house and notice a smell from my dog having an accident. Of course, I would clean it up, and I would use a natural product to get it out of the carpet. But this dog is just amazing in terms of how she just glistens and has no odors at all. And she kisses me all the time, and she doesn't have any bad breath. And so I'm so glad you mentioned that. The people have to realize that if their dogs have all these odors, what they're doing is excreting the toxins through their mouths, through their skin, through their urine. These are all pathways that are allowed to get rid of this stuff. And if there's no toxins to get rid of, then there's no odors, which are just indicative of how poisoned they are.
I know that when I have dogs that come into the boarding facility that have have an odor, it's because they're on a diet that I don't, that I'm not in favor of. And but it's amazing how just having a conversation with their guardians, people very easily change over to the things that you recommend, because they want their dogs with them as long as they possibly can have them.
Yeah.
And an example of that, with my having lost Little Button at the age of 9, and then the next dog that I got, I actually cooked her food, because that's what a lot of breeders were doing at that time. It was before people really began to discover the raw diet. And I never, I couldn't quite switch over, but at least I was making her food, although
mm-hmm.
I cooked it. As a result, I had her for over 17 years.
Wow.
Now, what I know now is, had I fed her raw, I would have had her over 20 years.
Right.
Firmly believe that.
Yeah.
So,
process, and, that was your path, so that you would learn what you've learned, so that you could teach others, which is such an important job, because, my pets, like I said, and I know it's true for you too, your beautiful Papillons, they're the cutest little pups I've ever seen. My pets are part of my family, and when you love your pet, you want your pet to be around as long as possible. But let me ask you, Sandra, why does the typical veterinarian support commercial dog food products? What's up with that?
Well, of course, you know the answer to that, but for people out there who don't know, unfortunately, the pet food industry and the pharmaceutical industry are the two industries that finance the veterinary schools, the veterinary colleges and our universities.
Yep.
They make huge financial contributions to the schools. And then they are allowed to come in and talk with the veterinarians. Number one, the vets have a total of 2 hours out of the number of years that they are in school learning veterinary medicine. They have 2 hours on nutrition for animals.
And probably 2 years of pharmaceuticals, just like I did in medical school. Yes,
yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and then, I just had someone the other day. She said she asked her vet what he was feeding his dog, and he's feeding him Science Diet, which is a junk food for those of you out there who are listening. Don't buy into that. He feeds his dog Science Diet, and she said, why? He says, because it's free. Well, what happens is because that's what the pet food industry does. They go in and they court these young doctors, and they say, if you will, sell our food in your clinic, or if you will recommend our food, then we'll supply you for life with dogs, all the dog food you want.
Well, at least he admitted that he sold his pet out for cash.
I mean, that's
so disgusting.
And
I just want to say, and I'm sure you also know this, that Science Diet is not cheap. They pretend that it's a very scientific diet for all different types of needs in pets if they have kidney problems or whatever the case may be, and they charge a premium for that dog food, which I agree with you is garbage.
Yeah, but the whole point is, why does the dog have a kidney problem?
Yes.
If you feed them right from the beginning, you would never be exposed to science diet for heart or for kidneys or for liver or for whatever.
Yes.
I know that there was I had a boarder that unfortunately didn't agree with my philosophy. And he was so adamant about how I should feed his dog this food that he brought, which happened to be a science diet product. And he says, we've been feeding him this because he has, and I forgot what the condition was, and, you know, and I thought to myself, did he ever try to figure out why his dog had that condition in the first place?
No, because the vet never tried to figure that out.
Exactly. So,
right.
You know, if you, it's never, and I really want to emphasize this, it is never too late. I don't care what age your dog, or even your cat, I don't care how old they are, it is never too late to switch them over to these better foods that we're talking about.
Definitely,
you know, if you buy them an additional year or an additional 6 months, depending on their advanced age, and definitely, you know, if they're young dogs, I know when I made that comment to someone the other day because they had a new puppy just six months old, and I said, do you realize that if you start right now and never give this dog another shot in its life, and you start putting this dog on the raw diet right now, that you will have this dog 8 years longer than you will if you go the traditional route? And they just said, wow. You know, I mean, it's startling. It really is.
Well, I just have to mention, Sandra, that it's amazing how fast the time goes. We're actually out of time. I want to thank you so much for your excellent information. And just mention your website again, the WWWs, thenaturallyhealthydog.com. And you can also sign up for her excellent newsletter at that website. And how can somebody get in touch with you if they have any questions?
They can send an email to info@thenaturallyhealthydog.com.
Okay.
And I'd be happy, and I'd love to get it and be happy to answer any questions they have.
Okay. Well, Sandra, I want to thank you so much on behalf of all the pets that you've helped in your life and continue to help and educate the owners as to what they need to do. You are a gift from God, and I know my sweetie pie enjoyed her stay there, and I do so much thank you for being a guest on the show and encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing, and I hope in your next edition of the Naturally Healthy Dog, you'll open up that vaccine box.
That's my plan.
Okay.
Thank you,
Rebecca.
Okay, well,
thanks again, and have a great night, and thank you for listening, folks. Happy Valentine's Day to all the critters and all the people listening. Bye-bye.